Sech the tainis, the chof tes amar aleph. The tap toises, the remaschil, the chsiv, ad choyde shemim, havalahu chof beis besivon. To recall, the Gemara was trying to calculate how do we know that the 9th of Av was the day on which the original gzeira in the Midbar was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu against all males above the age of 20, that they would die in the desert and not go to Eretz Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chet Meraglim. And the Gemara basically calculates as follows, that there are four major events of varying spans and one known date that we know when those four events began. And when we do the number crunching, so we're able to figure out that from that known date, after those four events transpired, so we wind up at Tisha B'Av. Or as we shall see concerning a debate between Rashi and Tosfos, perhaps the day before. The known date is the 20th day of Iyar. And that was the date, as the Gemara records, V'hi v'shona ha'shenis b'chodesh ha'sheni b'esrim b'chodesh na'alo ha'anon me'al mishkan ha'idus. That the cloud elevated itself, indicating that it was time to travel. This, of course, was from the prolonged encampment at Har Sinai that had lasted a little under a year, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan of the first year they left Mitzrayim until the 20th day of Iyar in the second year they left Mitzrayim. So that is the known date, the 20th of Iyar. And then, one after the other, four events occurred. First, there were 3 days of travel, as the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parashas Va'aloscha, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yamim. After that was the tragic event of the Kivros Hatava, where Klal Yisrael, following the lead of the Erev Rav, desired meat, and for 30 days they devoured enormous amounts of slav, leading to terrible tragedy and plague at the end of those 30 days. So that's event number two. So far we have 3 days plus 30 days. Right after that, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron HaKohen, as recorded at the end of Parshas Baloscha as well. And her punishment was that she became a Mitzoras for 7 days, and Klal Yisrael waited for her before they moved to the next station in their now much longer journey to Eretz Yisrael. And after that was the sending of the Meraglim. And of course, as the Torah records in Parshas Shlach, that trip back and forth lasted 40 days. And as a result of that, there was a 40-year decree that the Jews would have to wander in the desert. Yom Lashana. Each day that the spies were involved in bringing back an evil report led to an extra year of stay in the desert. So what we have then, in terms of the raw math of it, is we have Chof Iyar as our baseline. We have 3 days of travel, plus 30 days of the meat episode of the Kibros Hatava, that's 33, plus 7 days of Miriam Saras, which is 40, plus the 40 days of the travels of the Meraglim, which is a total of 80. So we have 80 days, and somehow those 80 days are supposed to get us from Chof Iyar to Tisha B'Av. Now we could see that something has to give here. The numbers have to be somewhat adjusted, because Chof Iyar, until the end of Iyar, Iyar has 29 days, it's a Chodesh Chaser, so assuming we count the endpoints, so we have Chof to Chof Tes is 10, right? 20 through 29, counting 20 and counting 29 is 10. Then we have the next month, which is Sivan, which is a Chodesh Malei, so that is 30 days. So now we're up to 40. Again, we're trying to get up to 80. Then we have Chodesh Tammuz, which generally is a Chodesh Chaser. That'll have to be discussed later in the Gemara as to whether that year it was different. So Tammuz would be 29 as a Chodesh Chaser, a smaller month. So now we went from 40 plus 29 is 69. And then we have 9 days in Av till Tisha B'Av. So then we get 78. So we're off by 2 days. Because recall in our original calculation of the 3 days of travel, plus the 30 days of the meat episode, plus the 7 days of Miriam, plus the 40 days of the Meraglim, was a total of 80. And here just counting the calendaric days from the 20th of Iyar until the 9th of Av, including both endpoints, we have 78. So somehow we're missing 2 days, and those have to be accounted for. So, since the text of the Tosis is somewhat complex, it doesn't necessarily present the number crunching as we would. And since there are subtle debates here between Rashi and Tosis, I want to take a few moments out before we actually read the Tosis inside, as well as the next Tosis, which is related, to summarize the different approaches of Rashi and Tosis as to how to account for those 2 days. So in short, Rashi's solution is as follows. To recall, we calculated a total of 80 days concerning those four events, 3 plus 30 plus 7 plus 40, and we calculated 78 days on the calendar. So what Rashi does is increases the calendaric days by 1, based on the Gemara's answer, as we shall see in a moment, and decreases the event days by 1. So the 80 goes down to 79 of the event days, and the 78 of the calendar days goes up to 79. How is that solved? So the calendar days go up by 1, because that year the Gemara quotes, based on a pasuk in Eicha, that Tammuz was Malei. It wasn't 29, it was 30. So the calendar that year looked like Iyar being 29, Sivan having 30 days, and then again Tammuz having 30 days, and then presumably as well, Av having 30 days as well, which would be the norm. So it would be 3 months in a row that had 30 days. That Av having 30 days is not really relevant to our calculation now. So that's how we increase the calendar days from 78 to 79. And we decrease the event days from 80 to 79, because recall the numbers were 3 days of travel, 30 days of meat consumption, followed by the plague, 7 days of the Tsaras of Miriam, and 40 days of Meraglim. So the Torah actually does not record the meat days as 30. It calls it a Chodesh. And Rashi points out that since a Chodesh could either be 29 or 30 days, here it refers to 29 days. So again, doing that math, we have 3 plus 29 rather than 30, and then plus 7 plus 40, so we get to 79. So the numbers work out. 79 calendaric days once we adjust the Tammuz from 29 to 30, and 79 event days once we adjust the Chodesh of the meat days from 30 to 29. That is basically Rashi's solution. The main Chiddush here, because the part about Tammuz being expanded to 30 days in explicit Gemara, is that the Chodesh of the meat days was not a Chodesh Malei of a typical 30-day month, but rather a Chodesh Chaser of 29. Although the math works out according to what we presented, one other point has to be stated in order to complete the picture according to Rashi. Since Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara seems to have been that the Meraglim returned on Erev Tisha B'Av, and the motivation behind that Girsa is because the Torah records in Parsha Shlach that Bnei Yisrael cried on that night, Vayivku Bnei Yisrael Balailahu, and that became a Leil Bechil Adoros in the language of the Gemara, a night of eternal crying and of destruction. So Rashi understands that that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. In order for the crying and complaining of the Jewish people in fear of the evil report that the spies brought back to occur on the night of Tisha B'Av, they must have returned on the 8th day of Tisha B'Av. So that throws off our calculation by 1. And the way Rashi corrects that is as follows. We mentioned before that there were 3 days of travel plus now 29 days of the meat complaining for a total of 32. And then there were 7 days of Miriam's travel, which would be 39, and 40 days of Meraglim, which is 79. So although Rashi doesn't explicitly mention this, but it seems like Rashi holds that there's some overlap between those days, and that must mean something along the lines of either that the Meraglim were sent on the 7th day that Miriam was recuperating from her tzaras, or backing up the overlap, that the last day of the Kibros Hatava of the meat consumption overlapped with the 7 days of Miriam's being secluded, that the first day of that 7 overlapped with that 29th day of the meat. So that would lower the total of the event days from 79 to 78. And if so, according to Rashi, that the Meraglim returned on the 8th day of Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, not on the 9th day of Av, so that also would be consistent with that number of 78. Again, to do the math, as we mentioned earlier, 10 remaining days of Iyar from 20 to 29, inclusive of the endpoints, 30 days of Sivan, 30 days of Tammuz, since that year the month was Malei, and now 8 instead of 9 days of Av, and that's a total of 78, so the numbers work out well. So again, according to Rashi, and these assumptions are going to be debated by Tosfos, so just to highlight them again, number 1, Rashi assumes that there was no overlap between the travel days and the meat days. The travel days were Chav, Chav Aleph, and Chav Bet Iyar. And then following that, starting from Chav Gimel Iyar, were the 29 days of the meat days. And that's assumption number two. Number one, that there was no overlap between the travel days and the meat days. Number two, that the meat days were 29 and not 30. For simplicity's sake, we'll assume that Miriam's seclusion started the day after those 29 meat days. And then on the last day of Miriam's seclusion, day 7, so then that was the first day of the 40-day travels of the Meraglim, getting us to the number 78. So we have the non-overlap of the travel days and the meat days. We have the 29 meat days instead of 30. And we have the overlap between the sending of the Meraglim and the last day of Miriam's seclusion, as well as the assumption that they returned on the 8th day of Av and not the 9th day of Av. So a total of 4 assumptions, all of which Tosus seemed to dispute. So Tosus' model in solving the math problems are as follows. Again, we started out our discussion by pointing out, assuming that the Meraglim came back on the 9th of Av, that the calendaric days work out to be 78 and the event days work out to be 80. So Tosus solves that as follows. He removes one day from the event days by creating an overlap between the travel days, the 3 travel days, and the meat days. So on Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Bet, which is the travel day, so on Chav Bet was the last travel day as well as the first meat day. So that lowers the number of the event days from 80 to 79. And in terms of increasing the calendaric days from 78 to 79, so that's the Gemara's answer, that Tammuz that year was 30 days. So again, the math is 3 days of travel, 30 days of meat day, with 1 overlap, so effectively it's 3 plus 29 rather than 3 plus 30. So that's 32. 7 days of Miriam's seclusion is 39, and 40 days of the Meraglim is 79. And again, the calendaric days, 10 days of Iyar, 30 days of Sivan, 30 days of Tammuz, and 9 days of Tisha B'Av, also equaling 79. As we are presenting Tosus' argumentation, so we see that he's arguing on all those 4 assumptions that we said that Rashi was making. Assumption number one, that Rashi says that travel days and meat days did not overlap. Tosus said they did overlap. Assumption number two, that the meat days were 29 days on the calendar. They were referred to as a chodesh, but a chodesh chaser for Tosus, they were a chodesh mole. Assumption number three, that there was an overlap between Miriam's seclusion and the first day of the Meraglim. Tosus assumes, simply speaking, that the Meraglim was sent the day after. And assumption number four, that the Meraglim returned on the 8th day of Av, Tosus assumes that they returned on the 9th day of Av. So this is a rather lengthy but brief, once you go to the sugya and try to figure out what Rashi and Tosus are talking about, how they each calculate the numbers to make them work out, that the calendaric day should work out with the event days. Now let's see the Tosus inside with some extra comments as we go along. I say in advance that the calendaric mathematics that Tosus uses is somewhat unusual from what I would have been used to, and therefore we will explain the Tosus in accordance with the way he presents it, without necessarily explaining why he presented it in what seems to be somewhat of a convoluted way. Obviously in Tosus' mindset it was considered direct. Okay, the Tosus Dei Maschil Dechsiv Ad Chodesh Amim Havalu Chav Beis B'Sivan. So the calculations of Tosus are broken into two, because the Gemara, in effect, breaks it into two, because it first deals with the first 2 events, namely the travel days and the meat days, and that the Gemara tells us, which is the Dibur Maschil of Tosus, Tichsiv Ad Chodesh Yamim Havalu Chav Beis B'Sivan, that, according to the Gemara's calculation, ended on the 22nd day of Sivan. So Tosus is going to explain how that math works out. And then, the next stage of the Gemara is Miriam's seclusion, followed by the Meraglim, which is going to start from that date of Chav Beis Sivan, or the day afterward of Chav Gimel Sivan, and then move us all the way to Tisha B'Av. Again, Tosus Lishitosam, who holds that they actually returned on Tisha B'Av and not on Chesav. So we begin with the first Tosus, again, working out how those 2 events of the travel and the meat days wind up on Chav Beis B'Sivan. Perish, say Tosus. Chashov me Esrim Yamim Shel Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the Bach and others change this to Chodesh Iyar, not Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar seems out of place here. So you take 20 days in Iyar, which is our baseline, as you mentioned earlier, first day of travel, Ad Sofo, and you figure out how many days that has till the end of the month. Timsa, you will find Tes Yamim, 9 days. In our initial presentation, we referred to that as 10 days, since we counted the endpoints from day 20 through day 29 is 10. Tosus here is not counting the initial day of 20 ER, only the last day of 29 ER. That's how he gets 9. So Timsa, Tes Yamim. Nimsa, Bechof B'Sivan, Chof Tes. Then it turns out that on the 20th day of Sivan, we have 29 days. Now, if you read through the Gemara, the 20th day of Sivan is not a significant day. The 22nd day of Sivan is a significant day, which is what the Gemara says was the day that the meat days concluded. I was struggling why Tosis mentioned this part of the calculation at all, and what I came up with is the following, happy to hear a better pshat, that Tosis is first making it simple. So he first simplifies by not counting the original endpoint, and we start from Chaf and then move on, starting from Chaf Aleph in terms of our numbering, and we have 9 plus another 20, because that's a nice round figure, Chaf to Chaf is 29 days. Now, of course, we can immediately see that if you're going to count the endpoint, then you're going to have 30. In short, since Iyar was a Chodesh Chaser, so what we have here is a mathematical rule in that kind of system, and it comes up in Hilchos Nida in terms of calculating the Ona Beinonis, which is 30 days. So when we have a Chodesh Chaser, so Chav to Chav, or Yud to Yud, or Tesvav to Tesvav, whatever they are, when we have matching days in successive months, so there's going to be exactly 30 days counting the endpoints, and 29 counting the last day, but not counting the first day. So Tosus first puts on file that from Chav Iyar to Chav Sivan, is 29 full days, not counting Chaf Iyar, and of course, trivially, if you count the Chaf Iyar, it would be 30 days. So now Tosus moves to the next step. Va'ad Chodesh Yamin, which is a quote concerning the meat episode, and Tosus writes, Havi Shloshim Yamin, so they are 30 days, against Rashi's assumption that it was a Chodesh Chaser and it's 29. We noted that in our introduction. So, Imkain, if so, Lefizeh, according to his calculation, Timsa me Esrim Ushnayim Lechodesh Hasheni, the Ze'ir, from the 22nd day of the second month, he refers to it as the second month because of the language of the Torah, Vehi Bashan Hasheni, Zvachodesh Hasheni, Be'esrim Lechodesh Na'aloha Enon, that the cloud moved up on that month. So now Tos is talking about the 22nd of that Chodesh Hasheni, the Ze'ir, which is the equivalent of Iyar. So Chodesh Shalem Ad Chavbeis de Sivan. So we're going to have a full month of 30 days until the 22nd day of Sivan. It appears to me that what Tosus is trying to do is the following. We know that the Gemara tells us that on the 22nd day of Sivan, that's when the meat days were over. So projecting backwards of a 30-day Chodesh, so back from Chaf Beis Sivan, gets us to Chaf Beis Iyar. Tosus in the original calculation showed us that if you don't count the initial endpoint, then you have 29. So if you do count both endpoints, then you have 30. So just like Chaf to Chaf will get you 30, 29 if you don't count Chaf Iyar. So Chaf Beis to Chaf Beis will get you 30. Starting on the 22nd day of Sivan, projecting backward, you get the 22nd day of Iyar. So that is the event of the meat days. Now Tosus deals with the other event that the Gemara is dealing with, which is the 3 travel days. We continue the Tosus. V'gimel yomim shenosu mehar Hashem. The 3 days they travel from the mountain of Hashem, namely Har Sinai. Hare lamed gimel. Added on to the 30 meat days. So we're going to have 33 days. Of course, first came the travel days. Again came the meat days. But Tosus is working backwards from the Chaf Beis Sivan that the Gemara points out that those two events ended on. So now Tosus says something a little bit cryptic. But after working on it and checking the Tosus elucidations and the Oz V'Adar, so, struggled a lot with this Tosus. So, Tosus now continued to calculate as follows. For some reason, Tosus initially takes those 33 days, again, the 30 meat days and the 3 travel days, and he calculates it from Chaf Beis Iyar, which we know ultimately is going to turn out to be the beginning of the 30 meat days. But Tosus is pointing out, for a moment, let's assume that was the beginning of the whole process. So, from Chaf Beis Iyar to Chaf Beis Sivan is 30. So if you have to deal with a total of 33 days, because the extra travel days, so Chaf Beis Iyar to Chaf Hei Sivan is going to be 33. Now, of course, the math is off because the journey started at 20. So that's exactly the next line of Tosis. Dal minayu beiz yomim deve'esrim b'chodesh na'aloha anon. Take away two complete days, because the mitzvah started on day 22 of Iyar. So days 20 of Iyar and days 21 of Iyar were travel days. So dal minayu beiz yomim. Take away 2 days from the projected calculation if we start at 22 Iyar, which gets us adding 33 to the 25th of Sivan. So take away from the 25th of Sivan and back it up to the 23rd of Sivan by taking away those two initial travel days of Chaf and Chaf Aleph, again in the language of Tosis, to Ve'esim b'chodesh na'aloh anon, and therefore 20 and 21 were travel days. Ve'aytu lehu shnei yamim. And now we have 2 days extra, which we now could subtract from that projected from the 22nd of Iyar, 33 days after that, to the 25th of Sivan. So we go backwards to the 23rd day of Sivan. And that's exactly the next words of Tosis, Pashu Chav Gimel. So we have a remainder, that's the word Pashu, 23rd day of Sivan. We're still not where we have to be, because we have to be at the 22nd day of Sivan. So Tosis solves that, as we said briefly in our introduction, that there's an overlap between the third travel day and the first meet day. Dal Yoma Min Shlosha, take away one of those three travel days, Shea Echad Min HaGemul Yomim, because one of those three travel days, Hoya Bechlal HaChodesh, was included in the month, according to Tosis, 30 days of the meat days. The Bach points out the next two words are superfluous, Shei Yochasa, so we're going to skip that. So again, Dal Yoma Min Shlosha, Shea Echad Min HaGemul Yomim, Hoya Bechlal HaChodesh, take away one of those travel days because there's an overlap with the meat days. And therefore, we back up from the 23rd of Sivan, which we in turn had backed up from 25 because we took away Chaf and Chaf Aleph, Pash, Lahu, Chaf Beis. So then we have remaining the 22nd day of Sivan, exactly as the Gemara states. In sum, what Tosis did here is he started out with the baseline of Chaf Beis Iyar, added 33 days to get us to Chaf Beis Sivan, and then in order to back up to Chaf Beis Sivan, he removed 3 days as follows. The first 2 days he removes by removing the travel days of Chaf and Chaf Aleph, meaning our initial date shouldn't have been Chaf Beis, it really should have been Chaf. And then Chaf plus 33 would get us to Chaf Gimel Sivan, rather than to Chaf Hei Sivan. And then Tosis chisels away the 33 days, which we added on initially to Chaf Beis, which then we backed up to Chaf, Iyar, by lowering the 33 to 32, because there was 1 day of overlap, because the third travel day was also the first meet day. Again, I view this way in which Tosis did it as very complex to my small mind. I would have done it just in a forward direction, that we start from the 20th of Iyar, we have 3 travel days, gets to Chaf, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Bet. Chaf Bet was an overlap with the first meet day, and from Chaf Bet, Iyar, to Chav Bet Sivan, we have 30 complete days of meat days, and therefore the 2 episodes of travel and meat ends on Chav Beis. It's the same calculation as Tosis, except Tosis works backwards from Chav Bet Sivan, and then initially he starts with Chav Bet Iyar, and then adds 33 to get to Chav Hei Sivan, and then moves back 3 days by first removing Chav and Chav Aleph, which were the initial complete travel days, and then 1 extra day of overlap with the travel and the meat. As a postscript to this Tosfos, many of the Gedolei Achronim point out that which Tosfos assumes, that the Chodesh Yomim of the meat was actually 30 days, unlike Rashi who assumes that it's 29 days, seems to be an explicit Gemara in Masechta Nazir, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara, in the context of Avshalom, who the Gemara has a tradition was another Olam, his whole life he was a Nazir, where the Gemara is trying to figure out how often he was able to take a slight haircut. So in the context of Avshalom, he used the word yamim, so they make a gzeirah shava between where else the word yamim appears, and one of the contexts in which yamim appears is chodesh yamim, which is stated in the context of the kirvos hatava, the meat episode. And the Gemara takes it for granted there that chodesh yamim means 30 days. It says black and white. So it seems to be a favorite raya to Tosis' understanding against Rashi, Sarachian, on how Rashi gets out of that Gemara. The next Tosis, which is somewhat easier in calculation, is the second part of our journey, going from Chav Bet Sivan to Tisha B'Av, with the 2 events of the seclusion of Miriam and the 40 days of Meraglim. So, on that, the Gemara says that the 7 days of the seclusion of Miriam ended on the 29th day of Sivan. And that math is fairly straightforward, because if Chav Bet was the last Mitei, so 7 days after that is 29. And then the Gemara points out, right after that, it says, Shalach Lecha Anoshim, and there's a brisa that on the 29th day of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, which, simply speaking, as we said earlier, according to Rashi, although we'll see that Tosis does not seem to maintain that, that there was an overlap between the last day of seclusion of Miriam and the day of sending the Meraglim. Again, we're going to see in a moment that it seems like Tosis does not agree to that, that the Meraglim actually traveled the day after, on the 30th day of Sivan. Okay, we read the Tosis, Amra Baye, Tamuz Dehi Shata Maluye Mal Yuha. Abaye states that Tamuz of that year, they made it into 30 days. And as we mentioned earlier, that's necessary to make the math work out. So Tosis explained, Basu osom mishlosh miyamim, they made it 30 days. And why did they make it 30 days? Kedei sheyechalu hamem yom b'tisha b'av. In order that the 40 days should actually end on Tisha B'av. How does that work mathematically? Shlosh miyam b'tamuz, because Tamuz that year was Malei. Ve'echad de Sivan, and 1 day of Sivan. Why is it 1 day of Sivan? Divachov tes shalach ha-meraglim, because on the 29th day he sent the meraglim. V'tisha be'av, and 9 days in Av. So you have 30 days of Tammuz, 1 extra day of Sivan, the 31, plus 9 days of Av is a total of 40. Harei arboim yomim, and there we have the 40 days of the travel to Eretz Yisrael and return of the meraglim. V'yom tisha b'av, shava meraglim mitur ha'oretz. And on the day of Tisha B'av itself, the meraglim returned from spying out the land. So as we noted earlier, the Tosis, unlike Rashi, says that they returned on Tisha B'av itself, and then it would turn out that the night of crying was the night after Tisha B'av, the 10th of Av. Some of the Achronim point out that, as the Gemara notes, that the main burning of the Mikdash actually occurred after Tisha B'av, because the base of Mikdash was set aflame toward the end of the 9th. So perhaps that's one of the reasons that motivated Tosis to say that Pshat that they returned on Tisha B'av, and the Leil Bechia was not the night before Tisha B'av, the night of Tisha B'av, but the night afterward, ultimately the night of the 10th, which was the main destruction of the Mikdash, even though it started on the 9th of Av. In order to more fully explain the Tosis, we go back to somewhat of a curious line that he writes, that on the 29th of Sivan, the Meraglim were sent, and therefore we have 1 day left in Sivan. Now, Sivan, as we mentioned earlier, was Malei, so that's 30 days. So the Meraglim were sent on the 29th, so that should mean that there's 2 days left to Sivan, the 29th day of Sivan and the 30th day of Sivan. Why then do Tosis only count it as one? So the Achronim have different approaches, looking at the Keren Ora and the Marsha. So one approach would be that Tosis are viewing the 40 days as 40 complete days. So even though they were sent on the 29th, but the reckoning of the 40 days starts the day after. So the 30th day of Sivan would be day 1, the 30 days of Tammuz would be an additional 30, adding to 31, and then 9 days into Av is 40. Another possible interpretation of the Tosfos is assuming that the day they were sent means the day that Moshe Rabbeinu told them to go, but they actually began to travel the day afterward. The Keren Ora actually brings a brilliant proof that that very well might be the case, because after Miriam's seclusion, it states that they traveled from Chatzeros to Midbar Paran. That must have taken some time, so that would give us an extra day before the Meraglim actually traveled. Either way, what emerges from this Tosis, as we said in the introduction, is that Tosis is arguing on two of the assumptions that Rashi makes. The assumption that they returned on the 8th day of Av that Rashi makes, Tosis assumes they returned on the 9th day of Av. And the assumption that Rashi makes, simply speaking, that there was an overlap between the last day of the seclusion of Miriam and the day of the sending of the Meraglim, Tosis assumes by counting only 1 day in Sivan and not 2 days, that there was no overlap. Either there was no overlap because they actually first set out on the 30th day of Sivan, or there was kind of an overlap, but not conceptually an overlap, because we're counting a full 40 days, and therefore the count would only begin from the 30th day of Sivan, even though they actually set out on the 29th day, but that not being a full day, the count did not start then. As a postscript to this Tosfos, Tosfos' language is somewhat unusual. Tosfos writes at the beginning, V'oso mishloshim yomim, they made it, meaning the Chodesh Tammuz, a month of 30 days, kidei sheyechalo hamem yomim b'tishabov, in order that the 40 days should end on Tisha B'av. Obviously, they were not intending that year to make it fall out on Tisha B'Av. To based in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, who made Tammuz Chodesh Malei, clearly we're not intending that the Chet HaMeraglim should occur. So presumably what Tosis means is that Min HaShamayim, they arranged that the great tragedy of the Chet HaMeraglim and the Gzeira that occurred after that should occur on Tisha B'Av. And that's what the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Eicha, Kara lai moed lishbor bachurai. That Hashem arranged for the moed, which here means Rosh Chodesh, to break my chosen ones, meaning to cause the churban. The Gemara says that Tisha B'Av was a day that was designated for peronos, for punishment. Simply speaking, it sounds like the Gemara is saying that from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim and forward, it was a day that was designated for peronos, for punishment, because that was also the day of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and of the second Beis HaMikdash, and as the Mishnah says, of the destruction of Beitar, and of the plying over the city, and as later Horan point out, it was also the day of the decree of the Spanish Inquisition, that somehow that day of Tisha B'Av was designated the day of punishment. Again, simply speaking, because of the initial Chet HaMeraglim. But it sounds like, from the way the Gemara puts it, Kara Alai Moed Lishbor Bachurai, from that Pasuk in Eicha, that Hashem was rigging it originally that the Chet HaMeraglim should occur on that day. So the Marsha actually points out in a Gemara that I saw in Sanhedrin that Al Pi HaMazel, Puranos is brought about on certain days and good things are brought about on certain days. So it sounds like from the Sheish Yisimei Breishis that somehow that ninth of Av, of course, we believe in Ein Mazel Yisrael, that we have the ability to overcome the Mazel. But since we sinned, we fell into the Mazel of the bad, so to speak, day of Tisha B'Av that was designated for punishment if, Chalila, we would sin. And indeed, we fell in. Had we never sinned, so then we would overcome the Mazel and no bad would occur. I think that's what's also mashed from this Tosis. Kedei Sheichalu. Not that they were intending to do that, but that Hashem arranged that should happen. Even though the first bad event that occurred on Tisha B'Av was the Chet HaMeraglim, but it sounds like that even before that, it was a day that was inauspicious. Tos divi maschel v'yoshev aleim es onam, uvera oslam yatzmisein, v'lo espiku lomar yatzmisein Hashem Elokeinu ad shebo ha'oivim v'chulei. The Gemara records that the enemies of Klal Yisrael, both originally in the first base of Mikdash, with the general Nebuzaradan of Nebuchadnezzar from the nation of Babel, and in the second base of Mikdash, the Romans under Titus, that they set the base of Mikdash aflame toward the end of the ninth day, and then it mostly burned on the night of the tenth. And the Gemara records that as they were setting the base of Mikdash aflame, the Levim was still doing the Avoda, and they were singing. And what mizmor were they singing? So this mizmor that is the Divrei Maschil of Tosfos, the entire pasuk, which is important to describe to appreciate what Tosfos is about to say, reads as follows: Vayoshev aleihem es onam, and Hashem would, perhaps we could translate, boomerang their strength, meaning the evildoer's strength, and it would come back to backfire to destroy them. Uveraasam yatzmisem, and in their evil he will utterly cut them off. Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, and our God will cut them off. A reference, of course, with emphasis of two yatzmisems, that the enemies ultimately be destroyed. So ironically, it was precisely when the Levim was singing that the enemies of Israel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara had recorded that the Levim were up to the first yatzmisem, Vayoshev aleihem es onam uraasam yatzmisem, and they didn't get a chance to say yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu until the enemies came in and conquered the Mikdash. And all of that happened on Yom Rishon, on Sunday. Because the Gemara records that both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on Matzoy Shabbos, meaning Sunday, and on Matzoy Shvius. So Tosfos is divided into two parts. First, just to explain what the words of the Gemara mean, and then to deal with the issue of why were they singing that Shira on Sunday? That does not seem to be connected in any way to the Shira of Yom Rishon, which is LeDavid Mizmor, LaShem Haaretz Maloah Tehillah Yoshiva. Rashi also addresses this question and gives a similar answer to Tosfos, notes that it's the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Revi. We actually ended with three psukim of the Lechun Aranana, which was added later, I think, by the Arizal, which is actually the beginning of the next parak. But the last pasuk of the actual mizmor that appears in Tehillim of the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Revi is this pasuk here, Vayoshev Aleihem Es Onam, etc. So, part one, Pirish. Ba'osa pasuk yesh beis pa'amim yatzmisim. That pasuk has the word yatzmisim. He will cut them off, destroy them twice. V'lo speak ulom rasheni. They didn't get a chance to say the second word. Ad shebo v'kofshum, until the enemies came and conquered them. So now the second part. V'omeri avagav de'enosa pasuk klal b'mizmor shir shal matzoy shabbos. Even though that pasuk does not appear in the shir of the Levim on matzoy shabbos, meaning of Sunday of Yom Rishon, as we mentioned earlier, that's the David mizmor l'shem aratz meloa te'el yosheva. So why were they singing that particular mizmor? So Tosus answer, ir lahem kach. It happened to work out that they were singing that mizmor she'amru osa pasuk and that particular pasuk. Uvi Rishalmi Mefarish, and Rishalmi explains, Ilya Nokat, that they grabbed onto some Ilya. What does the word Ilya mean? Perish, Ilya, Havi Kemo, Eli Kivsula, to wail and to bemoan like a Besula.
The original context is a Pasuk in Yoel, quoted by Rashi, who explains similarly to Tosis.
Wail like a Besula who has her love of her youth, her chosin, taken away from her. The Havi Lashon Kina, it's a language of a wail, of a dirge. We actually use that word Eli in the famous ending Kina of Tisha B'Av, Eli Tzion V'Oreho. K'mo shekor na'olam ri'unya b'laz. Try to find out exactly what this laz means, but from context, obviously it means some kind of sad song. So, Tosis' implicit question is, why were they singing this song? It doesn't belong on Yom Rishon. And the answer was, they happened to be doing that. And he enhances that with Yerushalmi, that they happen to be singing some sad song. To elucidate a little more the words of Tosfos, so on the margin they point out, and it's somewhat curious that Tosfos does not directly reference this Gemara, especially since Rashi does reference that Gemara, that the Gemara in Erechin, the Yud Aleph and Beis, deals with this precise question, that how come they were singing that Shira on Sunday? And the Gemara answers as follows, in somewhat of a complex answer. So first of all, it uses the language that Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi. That's the Mefarshim ask. We don't have that in our Yerushalmi. We have in the Bavli, in Erechin, the Yud Aleph and Beis, which Tosfos didn't quote. So the Gemara uses the language there in Erechin of Ilya Ba'al Menokat, quoting Rava, Itaim Ravashi, as they point out here on the margin, that they were singing something that wasn't really connected to Yom Rishon. Now, why were they singing something not connected to Yom Rishon? So Rava explains that this goes in accordance with the view of Rish Lakish. Apparently, the Gemara is implying that there's a machlokus in Rish Lakish and presumably Rabbi Yochanan as to whether or not there is such a thing as singing Shira, not in the context of Nisachim, of pouring the wine in the Mizbeach. The basic Shira is always done in conjunction with pouring wine in the Mizbeach. Wine represents Simcha. That's why it's a mitzvah to drink wine on Yom Tov and to some extent on Shabbos and on Purim. Wine represents Simcha, and therefore we have the Shira, which is an expression of joy, in conjunction with the pouring of the wine in the Mizbeach, referred to as the Nesachim, which are brought in conjunction with various Korbanos, including the Korbanos Sibur and the Korbanos Yochid. So, there's a discussion in the Gemara whether there's Shira only for the Korbanos Sibur, when the Nesachim are done, or even for the Korbanos Yochid. That's not our topic for now. Here we're dealing with Korbanos Sibur. So, then, Rish Lakish maintains that even when there's no Nesachim, the Levim are also able to, and presumably holds that they did, sing Shira. What Shira did they sing? So the simple reading of the Gemara is they sang whatever they wanted. They picked some random parak from Tehillim and they sang it. And it was that, so to speak, random parak that they happened to have chosen when the destruction occurred. And that's the language of Ilya Ba'al Menokat. It was some sad song that they were singing. It's interesting that the Yerushalmi itself, in our Masechta, Masechta Tainis, has a somewhat more elaborate debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, doesn't use the word Ilya, but comes to some extent to the same conclusion, and that is as follows. The Gemara quotes a machlokes to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and there it's reversed from what it appears in the Bavli, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're allowed to stam have the Levim sing Shira not in the context of Nesachim, and Rish Lakish holds that you're not allowed to. So then the Yerushalmi quotes this particular tradition that they were singing the Mizmor of Yoshev Aleim Es Onam Uvarasim Yatzmisim Yatzmisim Hashem Lakenu. And isn't that a proof to Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to sing random prokim not in the context of Nesachim? And that is indeed the way Rabbi Yochanan interprets this, similar to the way Tosis presents here from the Ri and quoting the Yerushalmi, except the Yerushalmi doesn't use the word Ilya. And according to Rish Lakish, who holds you're not allowed to sing random songs, so the Gemara points out that Rish Lakish l'shitaso, because he holds that since the Nesachim
can be brought not in conjunction with the specific day that the carbon is brought, then a suffin could be brought on another day if they didn't bring it the original day. So Rish Lakish holds that when you eventually get to pouring the nesachim on the mizbeach, that the shira that you sing is not the shira of the day that you are currently on, but of the day that the carbon was initially brought. So the Mefarshim and the Rishalmi explain what the Rishalmi is driving at is the following. We learned earlier on Chav Chesamid Beis, quoting from the Mishnah, that one of the sad things that happened on Shivas V'Tammuz that we mourn is the stopping of the carbon tamid. So that happened exactly 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av. And the last carbon sibur they had brought was on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, or perhaps the day before on Tes Zayin B'Tammuz. And
Shivas V'Tammuz, 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, since the Gemara testifies here that Tisha B'Av that year was Sunday, so Shivas V'Tammuz was also Sunday. So the last day or days of the Brin Karbanos were the days before.
And as we mentioned earlier, this pasuk is taken from the Shir Shel Yom of Wednesday. So on the Sunday, mamish, hard to imagine that as the Churban was occurring, the Levim was still doing whatever they could of the Avoda. So they were pouring the wine on the Mizbeach
from the Karban Tamid or the Karbanos Tamid that had been offered before the Karban Tamid was stopped. And now they were making up the Nesachim in the last days of the Beis HaMikdash. And on that particular Sunday of the Churban, they were pouring the wine of the Wednesday Karban Tamid before that Sunday of Shivas V'Tammuz when the Karban Tamid had stopped. They hadn't gotten a chance because of all the war going on to pour those Nesachim on the Mizbeach. They finally got a chance to do so, and they were singing the Shir Shel Yom of Wednesday. Obviously, Tosfos in the presentation is not going with that fancier pshat. He's going with the pshat as we have it in the Bavli, even though it doesn't quote the Bavli, but more along the lines of what Rabbi Yochanan holds, that it was a random song in light of the view that Levim have an ability to sing songs even not in the context of the Nesachim. Yerotzim v'shibizoicha, that Levim, l'shiram, should return to sing the proper songs, whether we pass like Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish, Zvat Hashem Nizke Venira, with the Sanhedrin Agadol being reestablished, in terms of which songs they will sing, with all of the wonderful musical accompaniment and the true simcha of seeing the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.